Chapter 3, we're in verse 7 this morning, and it's been a couple of weeks. I've been gone, of course, and thank you guys so much. It's been wonderful. Pastor Marshall, great job there, brother. Love you. And it's good to be back. Had a wonderful time at the conference in Houston. But, you know, as we return to this great letter, Hebrews is a letter. It's not a sermon, if you will. It's not really a book. It's called a letter of exhortation, meaning a letter of encouragement, there in Hebrews 13:22. It's written to Jewish believers undergoing persecution. They've left Judaism, and they're in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Roman government, you have to understand, boy, the persecution that is happening now, because see, this letter was written prior to the destruction of the temple. So the temple sacrifices were still going on. And we know that Titus destroyed the temple that Herod built there in AD 70. So this letter is a letter of encouragement for them to continue on. The theme, of course, is Jesus is better. He's better than the prophets. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. Jesus is better than anything. Amen? Amen. And he is our Lord. So with all that being said, as we look at verse 7, I'll be right there in just a second. But it's very important today that this is, you know, I hope never treat anytime you show up, wherever you fellowship, or any out there in the online world that are listening, every sermon, there's a word for us. Amen? Today is a today word for this church, for us, for all of us, and you that are listening live. And so the word today, if I say today, and you could mean, well, what is that, later this afternoon, or what time today? Well, in Greek here, when we say today, in our study this morning, it means now. It means right this minute. It means you have no time to delay. It is, the word today is a word in the Greek of urgency. Does that make sense? And three times here in 3:7 and what is it, 3:15 and 4:7, I believe it is, three times the Holy Spirit says, today, right now, this very minute. Man, if you hear the voice of the Lord, don't harden your hearts. Amen? I beg you, don't harden your hearts today. Don't, for this next time that we have together. It's very important. That word, like in 2 Corinthians 6:2, when Paul the Apostle says, he says, behold, now, not tomorrow, now, right this minute, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, Satan's today is tomorrow. Amen? He doesn't want anyone to get right today with God, get saved today, get healed today. It's always tomorrow. Don't repent today. Just tomorrow is good enough. No, it's a today word. So this morning, as we look at verse 7, it says, therefore. That takes us back to the last study we did together. And remember verses 1 through 6, they were speaking on the faithfulness. That was the theme, faithfulness. The faithfulness of Moses over his house. And, of course, Jesus is faithful and will always be faithful over his house. In chapter 3, verse 1, we obeyed the command the last time we were together. The word consider, we obeyed it. It's a command. It means to look intently, to really investigate, look at the facts, consider carefully. And who were we considering? Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verse 6 of chapter 3, the writer tells us, and it tells them as well, he tells the Jewish believers, he says, listen, you remain faithful as Moses. Don't you be like that unbelieving, faithless first generation. Amen? Now, with all that being said this morning, the title of the sermon is The Power of Now. Say that with me. The power of now. That means right now. It means immediacy. It doesn't mean tomorrow. It doesn't mean later. It means right now, right this very minute. If I said, Marshall, stand up now, he didn't. No, listen. He just missed. Thank you for letting me use you, brother. He just missed the power of what? Now. He missed it. He doesn't have another opportunity. He just forfeited the power of now. Loved one, if there is a word that you need to hear, it is this word today. I'm telling you, this is a today word for this church and for this body. Now look at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, tomorrow, he says right now, today, if you will, there's that condition, if you're going to hear him, if you'll hear his voice. Now listen, the psalmist here, or the writer, is quoting from Psalm 95 and continues verses 7 through 11, okay? We know from chapter 7, or not 7, 4-7 of Hebrews, the writer is, the human author rather, is David, okay? King David, he's the author of that psalm. But here it says, the Holy Spirit says, that's in present tense, loved one, meaning the Holy Spirit continues to speak, not just back then, but right today. Amen? Amen. Oh, that's so important. And so the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit says, hear his voice. What a today word to every generation, and it never, never changes. It says, hear his voice. In context, whose voice are we hearing? Well, the Holy Spirit, for one, yes, but it refers to Christ Jesus, our Lord. Remember in chapter 1, verse 2, what God has spoken to, you know, to the in various ways, and da, da, da. And then he says, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Amen. Hear ye him. So even in the first command that we were given in Hebrews chapter, 2, verse 1, he says, man, don't drift away less from the things that you've heard. What heard from whom? About the gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, it's a terrible thing not to hear the voice of God and not obey it. It says in Psalm 81:11, God says, he says, oh, if my people, they would not heed or hear my voice, Israel would have none of me. What a horrible word. Wouldn't that be terrible for God to say, Calvary Chapel, they don't heed my voice and they would have none of me. They don't want me. They don't want me at all. What a horrible word. He goes on and he says, so I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Can you imagine being given over to self? God, I don't want to be given over to me. I don't want to be given over to my wisdom, my counsel. No, listen, I don't want that at all. I want to hear God's voice. So God cries out. It's almost a cry of lament in the word. He says, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. To hear God is to walk in his ways. Amen? Amen. Now listen, God had something in store for the children of Israel if they'd only listened to him. But you see, God wanted more. They settled for less. Listen to what God wanted to do for them. Psalm 81:14, God says, I would have subdued their enemies. I would have fed them with the finest wheat. In other words, famine would have been unknown. And with old honey from the rock, and hard things would become sweet in their life. And then he says this, I would have satisfied you. Can you believe God speaking that word? He says it to us this morning. I will satisfy you. If you look to me, I'll satisfy you. No one can satisfy but Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. You know, today, again, it is a word of urgency to the hearer. And it means now. It means right this minute. So today speaks not only to the generation of Jewish believers 2,000 years ago that were undergoing that persecution, that were thinking about, well, maybe Judaism is, maybe we need to go back and all those things. No, no, listen, it's speaking to us as well. And whenever God speaks to any believer, when he speaks to a believer, whether it's that generation or this generation, there's only two ways to respond to the voice of God. That is, you obey by faith or you disobey by unbelief. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 3, he's talking about the shepherd, he leads the sheep out of the fold and they know him and they'll follow him because they know his voice. Amen? He says they won't follow a stranger. You see, we know the voice of God. We really do. You say, I've never heard the voice of God. Yes, you have. That's how you're saved, loved one. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them. I have a relationship with them now. Amen. And then Jesus said, and they follow me. Now, watch this. Verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The means a specific rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. The word harden there means more than just be stubborn, okay? It means literally you are stubborn, or they are stubborn. A hard heart is stubborn concerning the truth of God, the voice of God, the nowness of God. Does that make sense? And it's also, if you read it in the original translation, it would be in the active voice, which means that they literally made their own decision. It was their own choice. I choose to resist what God said to do. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. I'm going to resist God's will. And so the writer says this. He says it to us. He says to the Jewish believers, man, whatever you do, don't follow in the footsteps or the example or the lifestyle of that first generation that came out of Egypt, because they didn't make it. Amen? They didn't make it to the land of Canaan. They settled for less. It says in verse 9, where your fathers, look what they did, their forefathers did to God our Father. They tested me, God says. They tried me, and they saw my works, my miracles for 40 years. The word tested in Greek, let me see if I can pronounce it, parazo. See, I put it down phonetically. Isn't that good? Parazo. Let me read the definition of that word. It means to put to the test, to see what good or evil may be in a person. Can you believe? This is, God said this. You have tested me. Can you imagine doing that to God Almighty? To test, let me see what kind of good you have or evil that you have. There's no evil in God. So they tested God. And not only that, they tried God, it says. In the Greek, it's dokimazia. Isn't that great? In other words, the definition, to put to the test for the purpose of approving the person, to see if that person meets the test. Think of that. That's what a hard heart does. That's what the sin of unbelief does. They test God. Do you see that? And so you say, stay away from that. God says, oh, listen, you saw my works for 40 years. 40 years. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2 and 5, do you know what it says? It says for 40 years, their clothes, the children of Israel, their clothes as they wandered in the wilderness, did their clothes wear out? No. Can you imagine never having clothes wear out? And it says, and their shoes never wore out. Can you imagine that? I mean, you don't have to have one pair, you know, I mean, never mind. You see what I'm getting at? And I say, oh, Lord. And so here they are, the works that God did, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb out of Egypt, the Red Sea parting, a cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, manna from heaven, they ate the angels' food, water coming out of the rock. And I think, oh, look at the grace of God. There they were complaining. They did not trust God. They were bitter. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But God, do you see God's grace? He provided for them. He provided. He provided angels' food, manna that fell from heaven. Think about that. The quail that came in, water from the rock, the clothes that never wore. He provided. That's called grace, loved one. So God says in verse 10, therefore, because of the things we just said, therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, number one, they always are literally in the Greek, they perpetually, they always go astray. In other words, they continually go astray. And look at the reason. In their, where? Their hard heart. Yes, in their heart. And they have not known my ways, God says. In other words, they refuse to grow and learn and look at what I'm doing for them and how I'm caring for them and providing for them. Moffat's translation says this, they cared not to take my road. So what did God do in verse 11? Boy, he swore. Look at this. So I swore in my wrath, they, the first generation, they shall not enter my what? Rest. That's rest is mentioned 8 times in Hebrews. We're going to cover that next Sunday. But the word rest here, loved one, that we're looking at this morning, it, in context, it has to do with the land of Canaan. In other words, and it also has to do with their inheritance in not just Canaan, but the kingdom age when Jesus returns, amen, and sets up his kingdom. So now listen carefully. There are those that I love, I respect, great men of God, and they believe that Canaan of course, represents heaven or eternal life. And it's okay, but I just don't happen to agree with that view. And the reason that I don't agree with that view is there, you know, Canaan doesn't represent heaven to me because, number one, there's no war in heaven. Okay? There's war in Canaan. You have to take it, amen? There's no defeat in heaven either, but they did suffer defeat in Canaan, didn't they? You see what I'm getting at? You got to fight for it. Well, that's why I say Canaan is certainly not the one. I don't want my heaven to be like that. When I get up there, I want to get fat, and, you know. No. So remember, when God made the promise to Abraham about the land of Israel, it was unconditional and everlasting possession. Amen? Okay. However, it was conditional on the part of Israel because they had to obey God. They had to hear his voice, obey God, and then they had to enter into the land. They had to fight for the land, defeat all the ites, if you will, and then possess it by faith in the promises of God. Amen? Okay, so now, very carefully, and we have to do the same, okay? Now, look back at verse 11 again. It says, I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest. God says, I swore. When did God make that unbreakable promise? He can't do it. He cannot break what he says. God cannot lie. He can't relent. He swore. When did God make that? A lot of people say, oh, Bill, that was Exodus 17. You know, when they were complaining about they had no water, want to go back to Egypt. You brought us out here in the wilderness for us to die of thirst and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you'll find that that's not where God made that promise, or he didn't swear that. There's only one place that God did that, and that's in Numbers chapter 14, okay? So it's very important to know that. The rebellion, remember verse 8 is a specific rebellion, not just a rebellion, and it is, of course, the refusal to cross the Jordan and to enter into the land of Canaan, their inheritance and the possession that God has given unto the children of Israel. Now, with all that being said, Israel refused to enter in because of unbelief. They just refused. Now, that leads us now to the second warning found in Hebrews, and that is the danger of unbelief, and that is a today word. Look at this. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, and look what it causes you to do, in departing or leading you to turn away from the living God. You turn away from the living God, loved one, there's the only thing that's out there now is lifeless life. Amen? Now, the word beware in the Greek is a command. So he's saying, whatever you do, do not follow the faithless, unbelieving, habitual lifestyle of the first generation of Israel there in the wilderness. So it's addressed to then Jewish believers, and it's addressed to us and to every generation. And he says, lest there be. So that means that there wasn't an evil heart of belief in the Jewish believers. It was a warning not to let that happen. Does that make sense? Okay, so and what is an evil heart of unbelief? That's a terrible thing to have. No, I mean, it is a wicked thing to have. Because the evil heart of unbelief literally means active, ongoing unbelief in the individual. It's not lack of trust, okay? It's not lack of trust at all. It's a refusal, an absolute refusal to believe the living God who cannot lie. Now, it's important. There's a huge difference between unbelief in a believer's heart and an evil heart of unbelief. You know, we all sometimes have doubt in our heart, don't we? Thank you. I mean, please. I mean, the first service, you know, you're my favorite service, and I thought you'd, you know, no. No, but if you have for a person to have an active, ongoing heart of unbelief, that person probably may not even know God. Do you understand? Man, that's a dangerous place to be, loved one. So that's an unbelieving heart is one that's controlled completely by unbelief. Let me give you the scripture about that. In Numbers 14:9, Joshua and Caleb, you know, they spied out the land. They came back and they didn't want to go in, and they say, oh, listen, don't rebel. Don't turn away from the Lord. Don't fear the people. They're bread for us. Their protection is gone. Man, let's go over and just beat them up and take the land. That's Bill Quinn translation, okay? And it says here, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they refuse to believe me? Because they would not go in. Numbers 14:26, the Lord said, oh, listen, he spoke to Moses. He says, how much longer will I bear with this evil congregation? Meaning, because of the sin of unbelief. Now listen very carefully. Verse 10 told us that God was specifically angry with the generation for one reason. It wasn't murder. It wasn't adultery. It wasn't stealing. It was one thing, the sin of unbelief. Boy, that's a horrible thing, isn't it? To not trust the living God. Now listen, every believer has been given, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, that God has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. You have exactly what you need to start growing. Amen? Very important. And so it's in our heart right now. And how does that work? Well, number one, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is, sin. Think about that. Think about that. Ephesians 6:16. Taking up the shield of faith. Why? By which you will be able to quench all, not some, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Boy, faith, it's impossible to please God without faith, loved one. Absolutely impossible. God says, I must be believed. I must be believed. You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, the word departing there, that turns a person away, we get our word apostasy. But I want you to catch something about that first generation. It's easy to beat the first generation up and say, oh man, they went to hell and all the rest, all the stuff. You know, listen to me. Did God allow that first complaining, horrible generation of people that he redeemed out of Egypt, did he allow them to return to Egypt? No. Well, what did God do? Well, they were in the wilderness wandering around for 40 years, right? And what did God do to them for 40 years? He was disciplining them, wasn't he? Why? God chastens, trains, disciplines those that he loves. God does not discipline children of darkness. Do you understand? He doesn't discipline illegitimate sons and daughters. So he was disciplining them. He would never allow his people to go back into bondage at all. And so he says in 13, exhort one another when? Daily. That means right now, loved one. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. And look how the hardness happens through the deceitfulness of sin. So that word exhort is a command, parakaleo. It means to come alongside of one another and help one another, encourage one another to keep on running the race, to keep pressing on, to not quit. Amen? We all need to be encouraged daily. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. And that's what they're telling them to do. Listen, God never gives a warning to discourage you or to hinder you. He gives a warning in the Word of God to help us. Amen? Now, it says the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness, that word means literally to trick you. That's what the word deceitful means. It means to cheat you. Someone said this, don't let sin trick you. Thomas Watson said, sin is a mere cheat. And while it pretends to please us, it literally beguiles us. So all sin no doubt deceives, amen? But let's be smart. Let's be a good student right now, and let's when it talks about sin, in context, which specific sin is it talking about? The sin of unbelief. Very important that we know that. Now listen, a couple of years ago, I preached a sermon on unbelief, and I said that in that sermon, I said, unbelief is a cruel false god. Oh, it's a false god, for it demands that you never trust trust our Lord Jesus who died for us. It demands that you never trust the living God who sent his son to die for us. It demands that you never trust the promises of God. Never. And you know what unbelief does? It demands that you get the credit. That look what I've done in my life. Look at my degrees or my job or this or that. And I've provided all of this. No, that's a lie. Unbelief cheats you. You follow me? Unbelief will take you away from the plan of God, the purpose of God, and it will take you away from the power of now. The power of now. It's so, so important, loved one. Listen, he says in verse 14 again, he says, exhort one another. He says, and the reason for, hey, we're partakers of Christ if we hold beginning our confidence steadfast to the end. Are we partakers of Christ? Everything that he is, we are. Is that true? Why? We are in him. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things, behold, old things are passed away. All things become new. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians that we are members of his body. We're members of his flesh. We're members of his bones. And not only that, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, we are, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Does it get any gooder than that? Matter of fact, how close of a union do we have with Christ right now? The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, present tense, as Jesus is right now in heaven, so are we in this world. Right now. That's the way God sees us. Loved one, I say, oh Lord, you're so good. The Bible tells us we've already learned in 1:14 of Hebrews, we're heirs of salvation. In 2:11, it says Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. In 3:1, it tells us that we are partakers of his heavenly calling. Amen? Well, we are in tight with Jesus. But then look at it again, because a little bit of fear there. Watch this. Okay, we're partakers if we do something. Well, what do we have to do? If we hold the beginning of our what? Confidence. Say that word. Confidence. Steadfast to the end. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, I've got to really hold on to Jesus. No, he's really holding on to you. See, the word conviction or confidence there, literally it means conviction in the Greek, reality, assurance. It also means evidence. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Listen, so what does that mean? It means we are holding on to our confidence, and he is holding on to us, and our confidence is in what Jesus Christ has already done for us. Amen. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Verse 15, while it is said, now watch, here it comes. Today, it's urgent again. Today, right this minute, this is the power of now. Today, if you will do something, church, if you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard, meaning they heard the word of God over and over, they rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt by Moses, or led by Moses, meaning that first generation? And now with whom was he angry these 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? So the writer, which I believe to be Paul, of course, he closes with a list of questions. Now, here's what's sad. Did the first generation, did they miss their today? Man, did they miss the power of now? They heard the voice of God. They heard what God had said, and yet they refused to believe what God had said. Why? Well, in their hearts, they lived for less. Maybe they didn't know that, but they were living for less. They believed in less. They expected less, but God wanted to give them more. Well, they settled for the things of the world. Can you believe that? I mean, all the miracles that God was doing. And you know what they loved? Let me tell you what they loved. Oh, they were crying out and they were complaining. It says, oh, we sat there in Egypt. Oh, we sat by the pots of meat. And when we ate bread to the full, oh, when we were in Egypt, oh, we ate fish freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers, oh, the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the In-N-Out burgers. It was incredible. And he says, now there's nothing but this manna before our eyes. They despise the provision of God. Think of that. They despise what God had given unto them. So what did God do? Look at 18. And to whom did he swear? God swore what? They would not enter his rest, meaning their inheritance, the land of Canaan, the promise of God. But to those, he says, they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey. So we see, and I hope we see too, that they could not. It was an impossibility. They could not enter. They couldn't cross the Jordan. They could not follow the Ark of the Covenant. They could not follow Joshua, and Moses rather, and go all the, well, Moses didn't make it, but you know, Joshua over to the other side. They couldn't do it. Why? Look at it. It says there, because of unbelief. I'm going to ask you a question. No, I'm just going to make a statement. The children of Israel understood what God said. They understood it. It's not difficult. I mean, we're going to cross over the Jordan, okay? We're going to go into the land that I promised Abraham. They understood that, but they didn't believe what he said. Do you understand? We have promises of God. We hear them, but do we believe what he said? You see, do we believe the voice of God? I mean, think, unbelief was stronger than the promises of God. I mean, the majority outvoted the divine will of God. That is unbelievable, loved one. And I think, oh, Lord, man. And I mean, when they went and spied out the land, when the 12 went in, you know, they came back with a report, didn't they? Oh, man, you know, it's just like, I'll tell you, we saw fortified cities. And these people, they're giants. Oh, there's giants in the land. They're big. They're, oh, I mean, 30, 40 feet tall. That's because the first generation was from Texas. They lie a lot, you know, and so forth, you know. He said, oh, and well, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. The word in Hebrew means we were like little insects crawling around among these big giants. And oh, we spied out the land all right when they came back, the 12. And remember, and look here what we brought, this big cluster of grapes, big old grapes. And said, boy, it is truly a land flowing with milk and honey, as God had said. Well, if God said that part, the other part would be true as well. I'm going to give you the land, go take it. Do you see what I'm getting at? But they did not do that. Now, very important, what punishment did God give that first generation? Well, we know that they wandered 40 years in the wilderness because of the 40 days they spied out the land, amen? Only two, the other 10 gave a terrible report. Joshua and Caleb gave the great report, okay? We can take it. Now, what punishment did God give unto the first generation for not, listen carefully now, for not entering his rest, for not crossing the Jordan, following the Ark of the Covenant across, and fighting for what God says is yours? What punishment did they receive? Did God send them to hell? Or then it would have been, of course, Hades or whatnot. No, listen, the first generation, they lost their life, didn't they? They lost their life. They won until their corpses fell in the wilderness. But they did not lose their salvation. Now, I'm going to ask you something else. Were they redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You better believe they were. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did God forgive that first generation? Let me prove that he did, okay? Remember, let me set it up. Remember that God says, I'm going to kill these people. This is the Bill Quinn translation, okay? I'm going to kill I'm going to stomp them to death, you know, whatever. And Moses said, Lord, please don't do that. He says, please don't use your power to kill them. The Egyptians are going to hear about it, Father. They're going to hear about it, Lord, and they're going to say, well, you brought them out of Egypt just to kill them. So Moses is interceding for the people, and listen to what happened in Numbers 14:20. Moses says, Lord, don't use your power to kill them, but would you use your power to forgive them? And it says, and then the Lord said to Moses, I have pardoned them according to your word. Did God forgive them? Yes. But did they die in the wilderness? Yes. Did they lose their inheritance? Yes. But they were still God's people. Does that make sense? Very important that you see that. Now listen, and then God says, listen, they saw all my miracles and that's it, it's over with. Only Joshua and Caleb, they will enter into that promised land and so forth. Now listen, it says today, right this minute, if you will hear his voice, meaning the power of now. There was only one thing that kept the children of Israel, the first generation, out of the promised land, out of the land of Canaan. It was just simply unbelief in God's ability, unbelief in God's promises. Isn't that horrible? It says in Numbers 14:11, God said to Moses, how long are these people going to reject me? How long are they not going to believe me? How long? Loved one, listen to me. There today was over a long time ago. I want you to listen to me now. 2023 is our spiritual Jordan. Amen? We're in revolution. Now listen, the first generation, can you imagine 2 million faithless people? Faithless, now think about it. They were 100 yards from the land of Canaan. They were 100 yards from the River Jordan. And they forfeited the power of now. Do you understand? They literally, man, they lost it all. And you know what happened? Listen, let me tell you what happened. You want to hear a sad scripture? Listen to what God did, what God told them you have to do now. You're not going to cross the Jordan. You're not going to go for what I promised Abraham. And it says in Numbers 14:25, God says in his word, tomorrow, not today, you had your today. You follow me? They had their today. God says, tomorrow, turn, move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. You're going to turn away from Canaan now. I had more, but you want less. You're going to move out into the wilderness. You're turning your back on my destiny that I had for you. That's what they're saying. They're right on the border, and they didn't cross. I mean, right there in front of them, they'll never cross the Jordan because they let go of the power of now. When God says now, you need to act. And they didn't do that. They missed it. J.B. Phillips says this, many believers have the idea that the failure to enter into all that God has for them on their part, well, it's regrettable, but not serious. Listen to me. It is very serious. I want us to go into Sunday's message just for a moment, and I want you to look at chapter 4, verse 1, and I'll tell you how dangerous it is. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us what?
Fear.
Let us fear not to ever distrust a promise of God. We should be fearful, say, oh, I don't want to ever distrust a promise of God. Amen? He says, oh, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, you didn't act on the power of now. You came in too late and you can't cross now. You can't get across the Jordan. It's over with. Listen to me. Today, right now, it says, if you will hear the voice of God, if you'll not harden your hearts, it says, the power of now. You remember what I told you maybe a couple of weeks ago? You know, Sundays ago, when I said, we've all done well. Most Christians, they do great in chapters 1 and chapters 2 of Hebrew. They do wonderful. But the majority of believers in America, sadly, and I say this without any judgment in my heart, but they live and they remain in chapter 3. They never cross over into chapter 4. Like the children of Israel. God says, I want to give you more, but you're just going to settle for less. Remember what I said a couple of Sundays ago? I said this, the church can be, in America, the most dangerous place on earth for the believer. Because year after year after year, we sit in the pew. We hear the word of God over and over, truth, the living word, that's truth, powerful, sharp, active, effective, more powerful than any two-edged sword. And we hear it over and over and over and over, year after year, but then something happens. we don't do anything with it. We don't act upon it. We don't obey what we're hearing. Listen to me now. A hard heart no longer hears. And there is a hardness in the church today. And let me explain why. The hardness does not come from hearing the Word of God. The hardness of the heart in the church today comes from not responding to the truth that you hear. Does that make sense? You say, Bill, you're mean. No, I'm not mean. This is a today word. Man, right now, this day, in this chapter, we have arrived at our spiritual Jordan. Remember the scripture for revolution this year, Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, Jesus said, and the violent take it by force. We seize the kingdom and the promises of the kingdom as a precious possession because we are kingdom citizens. Amen? Listen, today, the power of right now, we have to cross over into chapter 4. I don't want this church to stay in chapter 3. God doesn't want us to stay in chapter 3. Does that make sense? We need to go over to chapter 4. Why? If we stay, now this is just an illustration. I want you to see what I'm seeing. The first generation, the Ark of the Covenant, when it finally went over, the first generation, they didn't make it, did they? Okay, but the Ark of the Covenant, which is our throne of grace today, does that make sense? Yes. It's not in chapter 3. Where is it at in our study? It's in chapter 4. See, the Ark crossed the Jordan. We can't live in chapter 3, loved one. We can't remain the power of now. We've got to go where the throne of grace is. That's what we have to do. Listen, you know, today it says, if you hear his voice, go back and study all the times God spoke to people. I went back and just studied Moses. You know how many times that God spoke to Moses from Exodus to Deuteronomy? He spoke to him 104 times. Man, did God speak unto Noah? Yes. I mean, go out, it's going to rain. Well, he didn't know what rain was. It's going to flood, I'm going to destroy the world. Really? Now listen to me. The power of now. Had Noah hardened his heart to that word, he would have missed the power of now. Do you understand? You read chapter 6, and it says everything that God said about the ark and how to build it, says, and so Noah did. Abraham, did God speak unto him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that he's never been? I'm going to bless you, man. And said, I'm going to raise a great nation up. And hello, he couldn't even have kids. He could have said, do you see how you could harden your heart? Yes. Oh, man, I can't have kids. What's this guy saying? You know, come on. You see how you miss the power of now? How about Philip? Oh, the great table waiter, who became the great evangelist and so forth. Remember, he left there and then in Acts chapter 8, he went into Samaria. Man, he had incredible revival. People were being healed. The lame were walking. The blind were seeing. People were, John and then James came down, and Peter and James, or John rather, and they laid hands upon people. They were speaking other tongues. It was incredible. Man, I'm moving on fast, aren't I? Whew. Slow down, Bill. The angel of the Lord comes up to Philip. He's having this great revival. And what does the angel tell him to do? Go out in the desert, man. Now, do you see how you can harden your heart? No, listen, man. Do you see what's happening? I can't be an angel. No, look at these people. The whole city was the whole city was filled with joy. Go out in the desert, Philip. He goes out in the desert. You know, what am I doing out here? And all of a sudden, listen to me now. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit still speaks today. Do you understand? He has a voice. He says, go and overtake the chariot. And what the next verse, it's Acts 8, I forget what the verse is, but it says, and Philip ran. Man, you understand? He was in the adventure. He was in the moment. Do you understand? Jonah, look at Jonah. Jonah, was he in the belly of the whale? Why? He heard God the first time and he ran. God has a way of getting your attention. How would you like to be vomited out of a whale? Ah. I mean, and did he obey God after that? You bet. What do you want, Lord? Go to Nineveh. Now. City of the biggest city in the world at that time, 120,000 people. Incredible. Nineveh was unbelievable. Just the city itself. Eight words from God, Noah said. Eight words. The entire city repented. Every person. Eight words. Just eight words. You see, Jonah hardened his heart in the first chapter, didn't he? You see, and he still had a hard heart because he didn't want to save Nineveh. Loved one, you got to listen to me now. You got to listen to the word of God, because I know that there are those that are present listening live and in this chapel, in this church, that's still at home. You're at home because the daylight saving time just messed you up. You say to yourself, well, if I'd have heard the voice like Noah, if I'd have heard the voice of God like Jonah, if I'd have heard the voice of God like Philip, if I heard the voice of God that spoke unto Moses, oh, listen, I'd obey. Well, you've heard the voice of God. The word of God is the voice of God. Amen. Jesus, well, I've never heard God's word. Yes, you have. His voice, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of God is real. Loved one, listen to me. You know, you say, I would have obeyed. And now you're saying, well, maybe that voice that Moses heard or Jonah heard, it's not the same voice today. I am the Lord God. I changeth not. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same voice that spoke unto Noah is the same voice that speaks today. Are you listening to me? And if you say, I want you to listen to me, it's very important. For anyone to say, okay, well, when God spoke to Moses, it was a greater revelation than it is today, then you are in deep trouble, because you're saying that Hebrews 1:2 is not real. Hebrews 1:2, what is it? In these last days, God has spoken unto us. How? By? Is Jesus greater than Moses?
Yes.
Are you following me now? Do you see how important that this is? Now listen, does he have to give the 21st century church, or let's just talk about us. Does he have to give us some type of supernatural experience to hear his voice and obey him? Well, if he does this, can't we just love Jesus enough to do what he says? In other words, what did Jesus tell us in John 14:15? If you love me, just, keep my commandments. Do what I'm asking you to do. I mean, do you need some supernatural experience? I'm driving to church. I had the radio on. I'm listening to a worship song. Can't wait to get to Calvary and have breakfast and hope Bill doesn't preach too long. But, and I'm listening. All of a sudden, I'm adjusting the dial and the voice is gone. The worship is gone. And you hear this voice. Serve in the kids' ministry. Do you have to have that to serve in the kids' church? Do you have to? Look at these people across the street. Look how they're living God. Look at them. I mean, they're working on their cars all the time, and their roof is open, they're jacked up, and oil all over the driveway, and they're hoodlums. Do something about it. You do something about it. The command to win the lost is still there. Do we have to have a voice from heaven to do that?
No.
Talking about the power of now. Listen. Why do we miss the adventure? I love to have adventures with Jesus. Why do we miss the adventure? The Holy Spirit, loved one, is speaking to us all the time. I believe that with all my heart. No, listen. God not only wants you to hear his voice and obey his voice. Do you know that God wants us to feel just like his son feels and think just like his son thinks? Bill, prove it. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. How about feeling his compassion? How about Matthew 9:35? It says that Jesus went about into the cities, the villages, healing all, everyone that was sick. He healed every disease. Man, you would think that Jesus would be rejoicing, but it doesn't say that. It says he looked out upon the multitudes and his heart was breaking. He had compassion upon them, for they were wandering like sheep without a shepherd. Do you understand? Do you see people like Jesus sees them? That's what God wants us to do. And he wants us to hear the voice of God and that power of now and obey him. You're at a grocery store and you're at a grocery store and you see the woman there in front of you and you're waiting to so you can check out. And she's holding a baby in one hand, one little baby a year old or whatnot. And he's fidgeting and needs to nurse or what. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it and so have I. And in the other hand, she's trying to get her purse open and put out the pennies because she's just trying to get some food. And you're behind her. And you hear something inside of you. You hear this voice and it goes, pay for her groceries. And you go, I don't know what that is. Are you listening to me? What did you just do? You just hardened your heart against the power of now. You just missed your adventure. Why don't we, listen, God will never contradict scripture. So you say, he's going to speak to me, but what if he says to do blah, blah, blah? Well, he'll never contradict the word of God, okay? He is God. He is the word. He won't contradict scripture. But why don't we just say, you know what? I heard that in my heart, and I'm going to go do it. What if I miss it? Okay, so what? That's how you learn. That's how you learn. Amen. Listen, here's the thing. To hear his voice, you have to practice obedience. And the more you practice obedience, the better hearing you have. The less that you practice obedience, the less hearing you hear. Does that make sense? And you miss the power of now. Well, what if I miss the opportunity that God just gave me and I didn't do it? Well, you just missed it. But he'll give you others if you will listen. Now, listen very carefully. A word obeyed from the Holy Spirit. When you obey the voice, you hear it. You obey the word of God from the Holy, you hear it. That's when you step into the power of now. Do you understand me? Oh, listen, the power of right now. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Oh, don't do that. Listen, the power of now. Just like a moment ago, I said, Marshall, when I was talking to Marshall, remember the beginning? I said, stand up now. But he didn't. He just missed his opportunity. Do you understand? He heard the voice. Not that I'm God, but you understand. I'm an illustration. But it did not work. Listen to me now. I don't have all the answers. And I'm still learning to hear God. But the power of now, it opens the door to the supernatural of God. Amen. Not only for you, but for others. You see, you hear it and you go, oh, wait a minute, what is that, Lord? You know, Lord, is that you? You know, so forth. Listen, you know why you're here, this church? First of all, it was because of my disobedience. I was in New England preaching for 2 weeks, and I canceled the home fellowship at Becky and I'm through. I don't want to pastor, and all these people were there, and I didn't want to pastor again. I wanted to be an evangelist or something, you know, and fly on a jet back and forth. I don't know. And I'm on the way back from teaching for 2 weeks up in wherever, New Hampshire, whatever, Vermont, and the Holy Spirit. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, why did you stop what I started? And I repented on that jet all the way to DFW. I got back and God says, we're going to have a church. That's how 31 years ago. Do you understand me? Listen, you hear the voice. You know, and sometimes you think you're crazy when you hear the voice of God. Do you know that? No, listen, Becky and I, we were years, many, many years ago, I'd left my first pastorate, and I've been gone maybe about a year from the church that Becky and I planted, and to make a long story short, it was Thanksgiving Day, we were at her father's house, and they just set Thanksgiving meal on the table, and boy, the turkey was there, and the dressing, the giblet gravy, or whatever it was, and the sweet potatoes, and man, I was, you know, I was ready. We'd prayed, we'd blessed that food. I was ready to partake, right? And as God is my witness, my wife was at my right side. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go to such and such a home as fast as you can. I looked at my wife and I could have said, now wait. See, I could have said, what was that? What was that? I could have hardened my heart. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the power of now, right now. No delay, urgent, do it right today. Does that make sense? Listen, I looked at my wife. I said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I have to go. And I named the name of the family. I said, I think I remember where they live. I said, I've got to leave right now. I said, honey, I'm sorry. And I left and I drove my car as fast as I could. And they lived in a mansion type home. And I got there and the door was wide open. I go up to the door, and when I ring the doorbell, then the wife runs out of the house and embraces me. She said, my husband, called him by name. He's out in the rose garden. He has a gun in his mouth. He's going to kill himself, Bill. I run out into the rose garden. He's sitting there, and the Spirit of God comes upon me, and I called him by name, and I said, sir. And then I knew what happened. I said, your wife committed adultery. And you're going to kill yourself. I said, take that gun out of your mouth. And he did. And I ran over and hugged him and prayed with him. And God saved his life because of the power of now. Are you listening to me? Listen, do not harden your heart when you hear the voice of the Lord. That's how we learn. Do you understand me? That we'll never move into what God has for us if we don't do those things, loved one. Listen. I'm going to do better this service. I'm not going to get emotional.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Listen to me now. The power of now. You know, if this was the Jordan River, I would want to reach down and just throw water on you. Just throw water on you. And say, God is getting ready to divide this. And he's going to put the river back to the city of Adam. 20 miles away, he's going to stand it up as a heap. And we're going to cross. We're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? We're going to, on dry ground, we're going to take our possession. 2023 is our Jordan we have to cross. It's the power of now. Today, if you hear his voice, today, right this minute, the urgency, do not harden your heart. In my first pastorate, there was a little girl. Her name was Jennifer. She was the most, I love this kid. She was skinny, and I just, her hair came down all the way to her backside. I mean, beautiful hair, and her parents were just great people. And one day, two men kidnapped her, and they held her in a vacant house for over a week, raping her repeatedly. When they finally, the police rescued her, they put her in the hospital, the psych ward, everything, no help. She would come to church, and she would just sit there with her parents. I see her right now. I see her parents right this minute, and every Sunday, month after month, she would come from that chair. They sat right there. And she would come to the altar for prayer. And I would pray for her every Sunday. And she would bow down and she put her hands always like this and never look up. And tears, alligator tears, would just hit her hand. I was finally over there, and I knew I had to go pray for her. I said, Father, I pray for her every Sunday. And I said in my heart, in tenderness, I said, surely you have something for her. Something for her. And then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. I heard, Marshall, the power of now. I heard a today word that was urgent. And I knew God was doing something, but I didn't know what he was doing. And I walked over to Jennifer, and her tears were hitting her hand. And the Lord said, speak to her and say, do you know what I do with your tears? Jennifer, this time, for the first Sunday, she looked up at me. I said, do you know what God does with your tears? No, I didn't either. And God says to me, the Holy Spirit, that today word, the power of now, take the bottle of my tears, her tears, and pour them over her now. The Bible says that God marks every tear that you cry, every tear. He records it in his book of remembrance, doesn't he? Every tear. What does that mean? What that tear meant. And I said, Jennifer, you know what the Lord said? No. He said, all those tears that you cried when they were raping you, when they beat you, when you cried for your parents, I swear, God, he's written them all down. And he told me to pour them back on you because every tear represents what happened to you, and as they hit you, you will be made whole. And God healed her. Now, but listen to me. What if I said, I'm going to harden my heart to that word? No, I just, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Are you listening to me? Aren't you tired of trying to make sense of all of it? And just say, whatever, Lord, I don't care if you want me to walk on water. If you say it, I can do it. What do we care to just reach out and do what God said? But think if I'd have just said no. Listen, I have never forgotten. She got up out of there, not one tear on her face. She ran back to her parents, and she never had to visit a psych doctor ever again in her life. Do you understand? That's what the power of right now. That's what, see, when you obey that voice, you step into the power of now. It could be for you, but mainly it's usually for other people. That's the adventure. That level, that's what it's all about. Some of you need to leave chapter 3. No. All of us. We need to leave chapter 3 and we need to get into chapter 4. And the only way to get to the throne of grace in chapter 4 is to cross the Jordan. There's no other way. See, some of you, your marriages are in trouble. You're in trouble. Some of you are in prison because of unforgiveness, or maybe not even forgiving yourself. You don't forgive yourself for what you've done, and you're in bondage now. You suppress all that. You hold it all in. Or you're trying to defeat sin by your own strength, and you can't. You can only defeat it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You put sin to death only by the Spirit. You can't do it, but God can. Some of you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, the power that comes from on high. Well, Bill, that's not for me. Then you need to read the book of Acts, because it says the promise of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the baptism, where it comes upon you, is not only to that generation, but to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. Acts 2, 38 and 39. Some of you just need to say, you know what, Lord? I'm tired of my pain. Why do you need to cross over into chapter 4 with me? I'll tell you why. Because in chapter 4, I think it's verse 10, it says that God, it says for you to enter in by, you believe, and you enter His rest. You enter His rest. There's no more striving. You know, you don't have to try to make it. God's going to make it for you. Oh, yes, where you only look to Jesus and no one else. Amen? Amen. Listen, today we have to cross the Jordan. Father, in Jesus' name, you know your people. You know their hearts. You know, I don't know anything. I just know this. You're real. You're alive. Your word is alive. The Holy Spirit is here. And Lord God, we want to move into the power of now. We're sick of yesterday, and there's nothing for us yesterday. And there's nothing tomorrow, because tomorrow will then become today. So it's today. If we will hear your voice, if we'll not harden our heart, we'll cross that Jordan. And we will move into the things of God. And we'll move over to the throne of grace, where you've said, Lord, you understand our weaknesses. You've sympathized with us. It says, Lord, it says, let us, all the church, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy, where we can find grace in time of need to help. Lord, I don't know how to pray. I just know I want to cross. I'm going to cross. I'm crossing over, and I want to move into the power of today. I want to move into the power of now, and I want the sheep of your pasture to come with me. Lord, please, whatever it takes, fall upon this church. Fall even now, Lord. I believe in you. I trust in you. I know you can do all things, O God, but it's imperative that we move into your realm and live there. Bless your people. Free them. Let them, you know their heart. Let them cry out to you right now, because you can do anything, Lord. We ask it. We believe it. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Now, if you don't want to cross the Jordan, you can go to Grapevine Lake. Amen? We have to care for the things of God more than we care for the things of the world, loved one. We have to move on. I tell you, there's an urgency in my heart. 2023, we have to get back. We have to move forward. We have to become soul winners, because we're supposed to. Amen? Amen. Did I make any sense? Yes. Did you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Are you ready for the adventure?
Yes.
Then move into the power of now. Amen. You know, if you need prayer, there are going to be people here to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, today is your day. You need to get to this altar. As soon as I sing this song, you need to run to this altar and get right with God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm tired. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. With all your hearts. God is so good.
He's so good to me.
Yes, yes. And I love him so. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I love him so. He's so good
to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you, in Jesus' name.